you. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to read Romans chapter number 1. Amen. A verse or two here, at least one verse. Let's look here in this. Amen. Amen. Let's look in verse number 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16, we know this verse well. Most of us could quote it and get it word for word without missing even the punctuation in it. Amen. Where the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is," that is the gospel of Christ, "it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first." Thank God it didn't say to the Jew only. Amen. It didn't say to the Jew only. It said to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we'll leave off our reading there. We want to begin this series of thoughts this morning just simply on the gospel. And hold your place here. I'll come back to that. Let me go ahead and read our verses in Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. I'll explain the context here in just a moment. The Bible said, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter." I'll tell you what that matter was here in just a moment. "And when there had been much disputing," amen, that's why I know the early church was an independent, fundamental Baptist church. They was disputing back then, and we're still disputing in these days. "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." You can be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus, confident of this very thing. You know every limitation and every weakness that I have today. And yet, Lord, I lay myself down at your feet, Lord, in the call of God placed upon our life, desiring mercy from the God of heaven, that the power of God would be upon us as we try to teach and proclaim and preach again the glorious truths of this glorious gospel that has been committed to our trust. And Lord, Lord, you give it, Lord, to the early church. And Lord, it's been delivered all these years later from one generation to the next. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we know the gospel. We know the power of it. We know the person of it. Lord, we know the principles that are therein that govern our life to this very day. And yet, Lord, this morning, Lord, there's a generation coming on the scene that, Lord, we want to give the gospel to again. And Lord, and give it to their trust and their safekeeping. And Lord, may we all endeavor together to fight the good fight of the faith. And Lord, we will thank you for what you do. Help our church to understand the gospel. And Lord, may it ever be, Lord, that our ministry is centered around. And then, Lord, obviously, as we teach and preach it today, Lord, I'm aware that there are sinners in the building. And Lord, indeed, it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, there's no other message we can give them. We're not offering a handout or even a hand up. Lord, we offer the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, that could save their life. I pray this morning you deal with them, convict them of their sin, and do a great saving work in their life. And all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Pray for us. Last Sunday, I felt like I was bulletproof and could jump buildings while I preach, and preached an hour on Sunday morning, an hour, and I think 10 or 15 minutes Sunday night, and I gave it everything I had. I felt like I was 21 years old again. Amen. Until Monday morning at 5:30 when my alarm went off to run to Michigan. Amen. And I felt like I was 121, all right? And I've been paying for it all week. So I'm going to give you about 35 minutes here of preaching this morning. If the Lord will be our helper. And Brother Chad's got me some good volume. I like that right there. Brother Chad, I think I can deal with that. And let's look at these verses here for just a moment. Of course, as we lay out our thought quickly, we understand in Romans chapter number 1, Paul expresses the fact that he had some purposes and some desire that he could make it to Rome. There was something in the heart of Paul. Throughout his ministry, he desired to be at Rome. Now, in the end of his life and ministry, he's going to make it to Rome, and there his life is going to be taken from him. And there was just something in the heart of the Apostle Paul that desired to get to that place and preach the gospel. No doubt that being the capital city of the known world power there, the Roman Empire, that was where he desired to get, seeing some fruit that would be established and that the gospel from Rome would then go out. And surely Paul had some fruit when he eventually got there, but he expresses the fact that there were some hindrances that kept him from getting there, at least at the time that he's writing this letter. Paul gives you and I insight in verse number 14 on the mentality of the Apostle Paul as it relates to the call of God upon his life as a child of God and a minister of the gospel. Paul said, I am debtor. He counted himself to be indebted to sinners and those that had yet to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And so Paul's mentality as it relates, we see his ministry in verse number 13, and we see his mindset in verse number 14, that he has the mindset that there is something that he owes to sinners in every region he can get to. And he would give the gospel to the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise. And not much I need to say there, especially for those of you in Sunday school and understand what Brother Tim has been elaborating upon and expounding upon about Jesus Christ being the wisdom, how that God has chosen the foolish things and the unwise of this world that he might confound the wise. And no doubt he did that in the matter here of the Apostle Paul's ministry. We see in verse number 15, he said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And so we see his ministry in verse number 13. We see his mindset in verse number 14. But in verse number 15, and maybe even into verse number 16, we see the message of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul didn't go about from town to town and city to city, my friend, preaching some worldly philosophy or some kind of how-to thinking. The Apostle Paul said, I am ready to do one thing. I am ready to preach the gospel. And so the gospel was the message of the Apostle Paul. And may I say that is the message that we have been entrusted with, my friend, to preach from this pulpit and in this place and upon every doorstep and upon every street corner that God would lead us to. Our message is simply the gospel. Amen. We don't come bearing your best life and now messages. We don't come bringing some kind of human philosophy of Socrates or, amen, some Jordan Peterson of our generation. My friend, though those men may give some wisdom that would help men better their lives, there's only one message that will rescue and save sinners from their sin and the judgment of God and wrath of God.
that is against them, and that is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, I'm ready, and I believe Paul was always ready, amen, always ready from the early days of his conversion, and having the gospel entrusted to him, amen, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, amen, Paul was ready from them early days to the days that he would lay his life down on the chopping block there at the command of Nero. No doubt in my mind that the last message that Paul preached was, amen, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even in being ready to lay his life down for the gospel's sake, amen, he is ready to preach the gospel. He says here, now this is why folk are not ready, and this is why, amen, many that profess to know the gospel do not share the gospel, is that they do not have this this down, as Paul said in verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the reason some never pass out a tract, and the reason some always find other things to do than that of sharing their faith and giving the gospel is, amen, well, to put quite boldly, and I'm not looking to make any more enemies, amen, here or anywhere, but it is they are ashamed. People who don't share the gospel and preach the gospel and give the gospel, my friend, it boils down to the fact, amen, they do not have this boldness that Paul had, and he could say, I'll give it anywhere to anybody, and look on my eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, and give them the gospel, is because I am not ashamed of that, and it's been given to me. And so I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Paul elaborates, and this is where we want to get to this morning, that he says here that, amen, for it is the power of God unto salvation, that if there is any hope of sinners being saved, amen, it is going to come by the gospel. Amen. This leads us to the question, what is the gospel? And we'll look at it maybe later on in another week. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, we preached from that quite much on last weekend. Amen. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, I gave you the gospel. Amen. How did Christ Jesus died according to the scripture and was buried and raised again the third day according to the scripture. And so according to that, chapter and Paul elaborating on that, that the very foundation of the gospel rests upon the fact that Jesus Christ came to where we were. He laid down his life. Amen. He died. He was buried, and then he rose again. And in rising again, he ever liveth. And so our message centers around those three thoughts. Amen. That is the foundation of everything we preach. That, my friend, is the gospel. Amen. I believe that when Paul gave that, he's not saying that the gospel is limited just to those things, but that if you're ever going to preach the gospel, those three things, amen, must be included in the gospel. Amen. In fact, the word gospel simply means good news. Amen. Good news. Is that not good news today? That Jesus Christ left the portals of glory, and my friend came to where we were through a virgin womb, and my friend lived a sinless life and a perfect life, and my friend set his face toward a flint, amen, facing rejection that, and going through betrayal and being laid upon and mocked and ridiculed at every hand. Amen, only to lay his life down on an old rugged cross, shed his blood. Amen, give up the ghost and thank God, take upon him my sin and your sin and the sin of the world. Amen, and be buried in a borrowed tomb, and thank God. Amen. Raised again for our justification. Amen. I'd say this morning that is mighty good news. In fact, there is no better news today. Amen. It would be gospel to me. Amen. If you come to me and said, Brother Jeff, I've got good news. I've got good news. I found $1 million out in the parking lot when I walked in a suitcase. And I'm going to give it to you. That'd be good news to my soul. And it'd be good news to your soul. Amen. But I'm telling you, far worth far, far more. Amen. Is that good news of what Jesus has done for you and I? Amen. Listen, you can have the world's wealth. Amen. You can have the world's pleasure. Amen. You can have all this world has to offer. There is no greater news than the good news of what Jesus has done for you and I. And so the Apostle Paul said, it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. But notice there is no comma, there is no period, there is no ending to that statement. Paul said, that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so the gospel has so much power, and that's what we'll deal with this morning, is the power of the gospel. But the power of the gospel is predicated, amen, upon it not only being preached, but in it being received, and my friend, being believed upon. Amen. There must be faith placed in the gospel. Amen. There must be faith in Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Not baptismal waters. Amen. Not church membership. Not good deeds. Not, amen, that one day the good outweigh the bad in eternity and I'll figure it all out in the end. Amen. It's not wrapped up in me and God having understanding. But my friend, the power of God unto salvation that is found in the gospel, amen, is conditioned upon what a sinner does with the gospel. Amen. Listen, you don't just have to know it. Amen. It's not just having a knowledge about it. Amen. It's not just believing that Christ did that. That you believe that He did that for your eternal soul. And that you're trusting in that to be, amen, the one and only means of your redemption. And so Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. The power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Christ, Paul said, amen, is something that I'm wrapped up in. Amen. I like what he said, and we'll deal more with this maybe. Amen. In coming days, I'll say a word about it here in a moment. Amen. But Paul said this matter, the gospel of Christ and the power of God in the gospel unto salvation. Amen. It came to the Jew first. Amen. And may I say, Christ in coming came unto his own. John what? And his own received him not. Amen. He came to his own. Listen, he came to the Jew first. And that Christ came, he came. Amen, in Jewish flesh. Amen, he was of my friend, the seed of Abraham and the seed of David. Amen, he came through that promised line. He came to the Jew. Amen, as a Jewish Messiah, a Jewish Savior, a Jewish Lord. And my friend, his own received him not. He came to the Jew first. Amen. I believe he came to the Jew first at his resurrection. Amen. The Jews were the first of those to, amen, understand and hear that Christ had been raised from the dead. It came to the Jew first on the day of Pentecost. Amen. It was Jews that was gathered there in Jerusalem that Peter preached to. Amen. And there was a multitude of Jews saved that day. And in fact, there were 3,000 souls or better. Amen. They were saved alone on the day of Pentecost by the power of the gospel. It came to the Jew first. Amen. But I'm glad that when the Jews began to turn away, amen, for John 1 said he came to his own and his own received him not. Amen. But that didn't deter the gospel. That didn't stop the gospel from going out. That didn't deter Christ from fulfilling, amen, his matter, the terms of the gospel. Oh no, he went and he laid down his life and was buried and raised again. Amen, knowing that they had rejected him. And thank God it came to the Jew first, but not to them only. And now you and I as Gentiles have, amen, have the privilege and the opportunity, amen, to hear that Christ not only died for the Jew, and the circumcision, but thank God he died for the Gentile. Amen. And those of us who were away from the promises, amen, of God in Abraham. Amen. Now that's shouting ground there. Now what I want to deal with this morning, amen, is this matter of the gospel. And Paul here calls it the power of the gospel. Amen. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Amen. Can I say today there is power in the gospel? Amen. Y'all pray for me now. Amen. The power of the gospel. Amen. It is dunamis. And Brother Tim dealt with this a week or two, maybe 3 weeks ago. Amen. It is dynamite or dynamic power. In other words, there's nothing else that can exercise or display this kind of power as is seen in, amen, the gospel being preached. And when we go back to Acts 15, let me illustrate the power of the gospel as is quoted by dear brother Peter. Amen. As he gives explanation of it in Acts chapter number 15. In Acts chapter number 15, the context and the fact that there is a coming together of the apostles and the elders in the church at Jerusalem. You'll understand that Paul and Barnabas have been sent out several chapters ago, and they've gone out on this missionary endeavor with one purpose in mind. And that is to preach the gospel. And everywhere they go, souls are being saved, disciples are being made, and churches are being established and planted in every city that they go to. They finish their journey and they make their way back to Jerusalem, and they sit down there in the church in Jerusalem and begin to explain how that Gentiles have been saved in every place, how that Gentiles have been receiving the Holy Ghost, how the Gentiles are being used to establish and plant churches in each of these cities that Paul has been. And they listen intently, and they abode, chapter 14 ended. Amen. Listen, when chapter 14, verse 27 said, amen, this is what Paul and Barnabas testified of. Amen. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. And so they're thinking on, they're thinking on what Paul has said Christ and God has done by the gospel that has been preached to the Gentiles. All of a sudden, in the midst of all of this, there is a certain band of men that, amen, come down from Judea, and they began to teach the brethren at Jerusalem that the gospel was not enough, and that there was not enough power in the message that Christ had come to die and be buried and raised again according to the Scripture. And that alone, faith in that alone was not enough, and that Gentiles must be circumcised as Jews were in adding to their faith. In fact, they were so dogmatic about it in verse number 1 that they said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And that's a pretty bold statement, ain't it? You and I, and the knowledge that we have, if somebody was to walk in today, it would be the equivalent, it would be the equivalent of the Church of Christ coming in this morning and saying faith in Christ alone in his death, burial, and resurrection is not enough. Except you being baptized, you cannot be saved. Amen. Now we in our Bible knowledge and training and discipleship, what would we say, Brother Gerald? We would say you are full of heresy. Amen. The only power that I need to be saved is that I repented of my sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Amen. And so, amen, this crowd of, amen, this crowd that comes around trying to teach the brethren, amen, that the gospel is not enough, and that will not, that and that alone will not save, amen, they're still around and we're still dealing with them today. And so from what is being taught from verse number 1, there is a matter that begins to rise and confusion breaks out. And there is this matter of disputing, as we have read in verse number 6 and the opening of verse number 7, amen, about this matter that Paul and Barnabas have been preaching the Gentiles. They have had their hearts open. They've received and believed the gospel, and they have been saved. They have faith and have been born again. And that Paul didn't preach to them, you got to be circumcised or anything else except believe the gospel. And that was enough. And they got saved and discipled it, and churches were started. And now all of a sudden the church at Jerusalem's in an uproar saying, can the Gentiles really be saved that way? Amen. And of all the people that the Holy Ghost would use to stop the dispute, the Apostle Peter stepped up and cleared his throat and said, I got something I want to say. Amen. I love this. I love this. Amen. And I understand that Paul is that apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. But according to what I just read you, Peter went to Gentiles before Paul was even saved and called to preach. You have to do your own wrestling with that out of the Scripture. Amen. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, what? By my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now up to, and we'll look at what Peter is referencing here in a moment. In Acts chapter number 2, the gospel went to the Jew on that glorious day. Amen. The gospel, my friend, in Acts chapter number 2, it was being preached to the Jews that were around the temple. And all the way up to the stoning of Stephen, it was predominantly a gospel that was being delivered to the Jew. Amen. Paul said that gospel went to the Jew first. Amen. And there were Jews being saved left and right. But at the stoning of Stephen, the church begins to be scattered. And they, my friend, leave Jerusalem. They make their way in the region of Judea. And then they make their way in the region of Samaria. And Samaria was nothing more than a bunch of half-breeds, half-Jew, half-Gentile. And the gospel was preached there. Revival breaks out. And my friend, Gentiles are being saved. Amen. Philip is sent to the wilderness to join himself. Amen. To one man who's an Ethiopian. Amen. Headed back. He'd been to Jerusalem, somehow found, amen, a copy of Isaiah 53. And Philip climbed up in the chariot and preached the gospel to him, said Jesus died for your sin. And the man that Isaiah's talking about ain't himself. Amen. He's talking about Jesus. And the Bible said, and Philip preached Jesus unto him. Amen. He believed, God saved by the gospel, and got baptized. Amen. And the gospel was beginning to spread away from being brought to the Jew first, and now it's being given the Gentiles. In Acts chapter number 10, Peter's in Jerusalem minding his own business. There's a man down the road in a little town called Caesarea. In Caesarea, there's a man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius is a centurion. He has position in the Roman Empire. He's a Gentile man. And the Bible said about Cornelius, Brother Larry, that and he was a man that feared God. He was a man that gave alms to the poor. And then he was a man that prayed always. And so there's something in this man, Cornelius. And in fact, it wasn't just him. The Bible said all his house, amen, displayed those characteristics. And while he was praying, the Holy Ghost moves on Cornelius and says, amen, you need to send for, amen, Simon Peter to come and preach a message to you. And the message that he preaches is the message that you need to hear. And while God is doing that in Cornelius' life, And he begins to send messengers while Peter's in Jerusalem. He's there, he's praying one day, and he's talking to the Lord. And all of a sudden, he receives a vision. Amen. And I won't get into all of it, the matter of clean and unclean. There's some barbecue. Amen. There's some of Moe's famous, amen, smoked barbecue pork butt laid on the table. And Peter hears the Lord say, amen, rise and eat. And Peter says, Lord, I can't eat that. I'm a Jew. That's unclean. And the Lord said, Peter, don't you dare, amen, don't you dare say, amen, what God is clean and what God says is clean is unclean. And he was using that with Peter as an illustration, and the vision is revealed and goes on. And that the Lord said, I'm going to send you to a man's house. Amen. I'm going to send you to a Gentile man and a Gentile house. And Peter, you have what they need to hear. They have some religion going on. They're doing some praying. There's a sincerity in their heart that they really want to know God. And I don't know where he got that, Brother Tiff. I don't know where the fear of the Lord was established in Cornelius's heart. Amen. He knew enough and received enough knowledge, and he knows I need to try to find God. Now God is saying, I'm going to send my apostle Peter to the house of Cornelius, and he's going to preach to them what Cornelius, he's doing a lot of good things, but he needs to hear a message that will change his life. When Peter accounts this in Acts 15, He said, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should what? He said, should hear the word of the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that what Peter preached? And there's some that disagree with me, and I'm not fighting. Amen. Because I know I'm right. Acts chapter number 2, when Peter preached, he preached Christ died, buried, and rose again. In Acts chapter number 3 and 4, the people that got upset about, amen, the healing of that lame man and it being done in Jesus' name. I double dog dare you now, go home and read Acts 3 and 4. Peter gave to them that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. That's all Peter preached. That's all he had to preach. And he's recalling this, and he said, you know we've already been through this. Because after Peter goes to Cornelius' house and he comes back, the church in Jerusalem, they all get mad at Peter for going to preach to a Gentile, and then a Gentile got saved, and Peter has to look at them and says, what was I supposed to do? I preached Jesus died, was buried and raised again, and they believed, and the Holy Ghost, amen, was received by them. How was I supposed to stop what the gospel did? Amen. Amen. And so when he said, you know, what he's saying, but Jerry, is we done been through this before. Amen. Y'all hang with me. I'm going somewhere. The word of my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. Can I just read you what Peter preached to Cornelius? Look back in Acts 10, verse 34. My 35 minutes is gone in just a minute. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He's got an audience with Cornelius and his house. And Cornelius has just said, God told me to get you to my house, and everything you had to say was what I needed to hear. Peter said, first thing you need to know, God's no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace, by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. Amen. I'd like to preach right there. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are the witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Notice whom they slew and hanged on a tree. There's your death. Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. There's your burial and your resurrection. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even us, who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. That's exactly what Paul preached. Jesus died, was buried, rose again. It's proven, and you got to believe if you're going to be saved from your sins. Amen. Is that right? It's amazing. So when Paul said he heard the word of the gospel, amen. Some say, well, you know, John preached the gospel of the kingdom and Peter preached the... And man, listen, I don't want to argue, and I know there's differences, but there's not. The revelations that lead to the gospel. What John preached, and Peter even alludes to it, he said from the baptism of John, this message was going out by Christ as He went about doing good. And it's the message that God has sent me down here to tell you. And He was slain upon a tree. And they slew Him. He died. And He was buried and He rose again. And I've come to be a witness, and there are others that can testify. And Cornelius, you're fearing God and you're giving alms to the poor and you're praying every day. But Cornelius, there is only one way for your sins to be forgiven. You got to believe on this. That's the same gospel presentation I've given to every sinner that's ever come. Be saved. Same gospel you preach on the street corner. It's the same gospel I've heard my whole life. And Peter said to a crowd that was saved, it's not enough to believe. You cannot be saved except you do A, B, and C. And now Peter is standing up and he's saved and reminding them of what Paul had written in Romans 1:16, that the gospel is enough. The gospel is enough. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. And Peter is saying, I witnessed it with my own eyes. I seen it a while ago, before Paul and Barnabas showed up and got y'all all stirred up. A while ago, we done dealt with this, that the gospel was enough to save sinners. What kind of power is in the gospel? Can I give it to you quick? I got to hurry now. I got to hurry. What kind of power is in the gospel? Can I run my way through this text right here? And there's more than this, but we're limited to this text. All right? Amen. Brother Gerald, number one, I see there is perceiving power of the gospel. Notice what Peter said. He said, now you know that God made choice among us how that by my mouth the word of the gospel, they would hear by my mouth the word of the gospel and believe. You say, preacher, perceiving power, perceiving power. Amen. Can I say this morning that when it is preached, the gospel will begin to bring clarity to our condition. It begins to clarify our need of Christ. Amen. The more that it is preached, and as it's preached in power, amen, the power is multiplied in our life. Amen. Our mind is filled with, amen, understanding. Our eyes and the blinders that Satan has put there, lest we should say, a glorious light of the gospel began to fall down. As the word is preached, there is a word of the gospel whereby I call it perceiving power. It does a work in your life, letting you know what you need. You see, sinners are not born knowing that they're away from God. They're not born knowing that they need salvation. Brother Riley testified a moment ago, amen, that he's thankful that Jesus satisfies his soul. There's a time he knew there was a longing, he knew there was an emptiness, but he didn't know what he was missing. He didn't know, amen, what was lacking in his life. Amen, but through the years of hearing his papa preach the gospel and hearing other men come back and preach the gospel, all of a sudden somewhere, amen, the gospel begins to go to work in his life and give perceiving power to let him know what he needs. It not only clarifies our need of Christ and our condition as a sinner, that gospel, the more you stay around it, begins to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul would say in the book of Romans, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. There is the matter of belief. Amen. In the gospel, and all men are not going to be saved. Amen. But if you hang out around the gospel too long, amen, it'll reveal to you what you are. Amen. It'll show you what you're lacking. Amen. It'll give you the message that Christ has obtained the very thing that you need. And only in Him and apart from Him, there is no salvation. And it begins to lead you and move you to the point you have to make a decision. Am I going to believe it or not? And that's what Peter says. He said, I gave them the word of the gospel. Amen. And what did they do with it? What did Cornelius and his household do with it? Amen. Peter said, there was no doubt about it. They believed. They believed. Amen. You said, well, I thought repentance was part of the message we preach. It is. But when it comes to Cornelius, and y'all need to get a hold of this, A lot of folk miss repentance and faith and the connection that is between them. Peter didn't have to preach repentance to Cornelius in Acts 10 because he had done been repenting. He done cleaned his life up. He fears God. He done started praying always. That's more than most of y'all say you're saved. Dude. Before he got saved, he was praying about everything. What did he do? He had already been repenting. When Peter showed up, what he was missing was, you got to believe. And that's why when you go to other places where the Word of God seems to leave out faith and magnifies repentance, it's because whoever's being dealt with in that moment, faith wasn't their problem, repentance was. Amen. Amen. I know I'm right about that. Amen. What is the power of the gospel? It is perceiving power. And you say, well, preacher, I've heard it preached all my life. I've heard you preach it now many, many, many times. But preacher, I still just don't know, and still it's not real. Amen. Well, dear God, stay under the sound of the word of the gospel. Amen. The longer you hear it, the more your ears will begin to open. And if God should speak today, harden not your heart. Amen. There is good news, good news, good news. And Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The longer I heard that, I heard it all my life. Brother Gerald, I heard it all my life. Amen. But at the age of 17, amen, I walked in that basement of the First Baptist Church in Garden City, Michigan. Amen. I walked in lost. Amen. Thought I was all right. Amen. But that night, oh, hallelujah, I heard the gospel one more time. And it's in that service I began to see. And it's in that service I began to really hear. And God began to open my eyes. And God began to let me perceive. Amen. In reality and faith. Amen. Relationship. That, and my friend, had just been something that was Sunday school and just basic knowledge. 17 years of hearing it. So what are you testifying of today? I'm testifying there's power in the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Just because you hear it don't mean you're going to be saved. And just because there's power in it doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. Amen. You must allow it to exercise. Amen. That perceptive power. Amen. Let it open your eyes. Amen. Let it lead you. Quit resisting. Amen. That God can do in your life. Amen. By the power of the gospel. Amen. Don't refuse it another day. Amen. You already know. It's amazing how many sinners will look me in the eye and say, I know I need to be saved. How do they know that, Brother Tim? The gospel. To know it. To have perceptive power of the gospel working in their life. And yet, harden their heart. I don't know of a greater power in all the Word of God than the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Save the sinner's human will that resists it. Perceptive power of the gospel. I've got to quit. I got three more. Amen. Notice here in this text, I love this, the possessing power of the gospel. Amen. Notice, and you'll read this in Acts chapter number 10, when Peter ever says, amen, that you've got to believe in His name to have the remission of sin. Evidently, when He said that, amen, they believed. Amen. He didn't give no altar call. He didn't lead them through the sinner's prayer. And I'm not necessarily preaching against those things in totality. He just said, you've got to believe in Jesus and on His name if you're going to have remission of sin. Evidently, Brother Larry, in Acts 10, when he said that, just like that, they believed. Because as soon as he said that, the Holy Ghost fell down and got all in them Gentiles. Peter recalls that here. Peter recalls that here in Acts. In fact, Acts 10:44 said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Amen. And I'll not read the rest of that. You can go back. Amen. And read that at a later time. I got to hurry. Amen. When Peter in Acts 15 is speaking and defending Paul's ministry, he said in verse number 8, and God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. Amen. In other words, Peter said, amen, listen, there is power in the gospel. Amen, perceptive power that when it was preached. Amen, they heard it, they heard it. Amen, they really heard it and they believed and they, amen, were saved in that gospel. Amen, not only has perceptive power, but it has possessing or possessive power in that when a sinner believes the gospel, it is the Holy Ghost that does the work in their life. You don't believe the gospel and get saved today, and 6 months after you've completed a discipleship course, get the Holy Ghost. Who administers the power of the gospel? It's the power of God unto salvation. The Holy Ghost is the one that makes it real in the heart of a sinner. They ain't a Peter or Paul or a John the Baptist amen, or a Jeff Ledbetter this side of eternity that can make the gospel real to you. All we can do is preach it. All we can do is tell you about it. All we can do, my friend, is scream and stomp and sweat and snot all over the place and implore you to listen and implore you to see Christ and Christ alone. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, that, amen, what a preacher can do, the Holy Ghost can. Amen. I'll never forget the day the Holy Ghost fell on me. Amen. He fell on me in that basement in Michigan. Amen. And began to work in my life and began to make it real and began to hammer away and began to remove the excuses and began to let it be clarified in my heart. When I got saved, guess who took up residence in my life by the gospel? Is the Holy Ghost. I like what Peter said. He said the same thing happened to us happened to them. What he got ain't no different than what we got. It's what the book said. Peter said what we got, they got. There's no difference in what we got and what they got. Peter said there is no difference in what they got and what we got. He said they got the same Holy Ghost as we did. Where'd Peter get the Holy Ghost? He got the Holy Ghost in the upper room. So he got it the day of Pentecost. No, he didn't. Read your Bible again. That upper room, Jesus looked at them 11, gathered up there and breathed on them, said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That early church, them 120 believers there in the early church, amen, gathering that upper room, received the Holy Ghost, amen, the same night of the third day of the resurrection. Say, "Oh, Holy Ghost fell." No, read your Bible. It fell on them in Acts 2. They got it in him in the upper room. They got the power of the Holy Ghost on them in Acts 2. Amen. Preacher, do you believe the gospel is an eternal salvation that we, amen, Tim said it the other week, amen, we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. It is the work of the Holy Ghost in the gospel that makes it real, and it is the ministry of the Holy Ghost, amen, that is that possessive power of the gospel. Once I've repented of my sin and believed on the gospel, I can never be lost again. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't going to finish this. Amen. The possessive power. Preacher, you act like you're excited about the gospel. I am. Amen. It went the Jew first, and a handful of them got it here and there along the way. And I'm glad it made its way all the way to those 17-year-old preacher's kid 25 years ago. And the gospel made the difference in my life. All that I had heard and all that, and I had just embraced by the simple hearing of the ear, amen, from a little boy, finally made sense, and the Holy Ghost made it real, and He saved me that glorious morning on September the 14th, 1996. Amen. I met the power of the gospel, got gloriously saved, and have been saved ever since. Ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Ain't nothing my failures can do about it. Amen. You say, "If you always lived in the power of the gospel," I wish I could say I had. But through every blunder and every mess and every failure, amen, through everything I ever said I shouldn't have said, anything I've done I shouldn't have done, amen, I'm glad that possessive power of the Holy Ghost, amen, has kept me intact in the power of the gospel. Amen. Saved for time, saved for eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. That shouting growled. Amen. Peter said, "When I preach the word of the gospel unto them, they not only believe, they experience the perceptive power, but they had that possessing power." They got the Holy Ghost, and there's no record Cornelius ever lost it. Say why? Because you can't. Amen. I like what Paul said, amen, the church at Philippi, that what God, amen, that work God started in you, He shall complete it. Amen. How's He going to do that? By the power of the gospel. His death, burial, and resurrection was not a temporal one, it's eternal. Amen. So the gospel's eternal. That's why you get in the book of the Revelation, that angel's going to fly all over the world preaching the eternal gospel. Because it's eternal. There's nothing temporal about it. I don't care what the Free Will Baptists say. I don't care what the Church of God say. Are you listening? You cannot lose your salvation. Amen. Amen. If you could lose it, then there's not much power in the gospel. Amen. Paul could have hung his head and said, you know, I'm ready to preach it, but I'm ashamed and I'm afraid to tell you, amen, that gospel in it may be saved you today, but I don't know if it'll keep you saved. No, he ain't ashamed because he knows it's eternal. It's eternal. The power of the gospel. The message that Christ died and was buried and raised again.
That's right.
It's what opened your eyes.
Amen.
Now in that, Peter and Paul both at times preach about judgment and hell and,
yep,
and creation. And there's a lot of things along the way that they give. But every time they take those messages and plug them into the truth of the gospel,
that's right. That's right,
sinners get saved.
Yes.
You may have been hearing a message on hell one night, scared you slap silly. Somewhere in that message, that preacher, somewhere, and you may not have even understood it all in the moment, somewhere in that message on hell, he's telling you Jesus died, was buried, and raised again, so you ain't got to go there.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Why? Because that's the only thing that's going to save a sinner.
Amen.
It's embracing the power of the gospel. Perceptive power, possessing power. Oh, I ain't got time to preach number three. Y'all don't want it, no way. The purifying power of the gospel. He just said, Brother Wayne, in verse number 8, he said, now God knows their hearts. God knows all hearts. Then he comes to verse 9, he said, I'll tell you what God did by the word of the gospel I preached to Cornelius and his household. It purified their hearts.
Amen.
By faith.
That's right.
Oh, I want to preach that so bad I can't stand it.
Amen.
Purifying power.
That's right.
The gospel.
Amen.
What I preach cleans lives up.
Yes.
Brother Larry, what I preach cleanses hearts. Say, it ain't cleansed me, then you ain't received what I've been preaching. The gospel that is contained from Genesis to Revelation is a gospel that will purify your heart.
Amen.
If it purifies your heart, it won't have no problem purifying your life.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there. I ain't preaching it, I'm just giving you an appetizer in case you want to come back next Sunday and hear it. Purifying power.
Amen.
And then notice with me, I'll give you number four. Just throw it out. Perceptive and possessing. Purifying. But then there's prevailing power.
Amen.
Prevailing power. Verse 10, Peter says to that crowd that's disputing over something stupid. It is stupid. What do you mean we can't be saved unless we're circumcised? Peter said, you couldn't deal with that. We couldn't even bear up under that load. How you think they gonna fare? So how is that prevailing power? You know what the gospel does? It gives prevailing power over all man-made religions and ideas. It'll straighten you out in your doctrine. The power of the gospel does that. That's why you can't be wrong on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Right.
Now, we can fuss and fight a little bit about, amen, did Adam have a belly button? We'll fight with you about that. I'll even sit down and have discussions with people over even Calvinism, I ain't no Calvinist. I'll sit down and talk with you about that. And we may see things just a little bit different. And I'm not talking hyper now. I'm just talking about they some get real close to the line, and we may even sit and talk about some of them things. Amen. We can talk about dispensations and disagreements some of us have about that. I tell you one thing we can't be wrong on, and one thing I will not compromise on, is Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose again. You get them three things wrong, you will give way. And that's why Peter is being so adamant in this text, saying we cannot put this on these new believers. That's man-made. That is man's idea. That's just what you come up with. That ain't what Jesus said. Glad I know something about the prevailing power of the gospel. I'll pick up maybe next Sunday. I've got something else on my heart I need to preach tonight. But ain't you thankful for the power of the gospel? Amen. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord, in this hour, in this time, that the Word of God is alive, still well, is still being proclaimed and preached and taught. Lord, we're thankful this evening. Lord, we're not in the dark. Lord, you've given us truth, and Lord, you've let us proclaim it. And I pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, every child of God would wrap their arms around, Lord, the truth that there is power in the gospel. Lord, may they not be deceived or deterred, Lord, in any way, Lord, from that faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, I pray this morning for sinners, Lord, that have heard the gospel preached again. What the gospel by its power can do for them. Lord, I pray you'd do a drawing work that, Lord, that perceptive power, may it be at work in their life. Lord, some of them know they need to be saved. Lord, some of them, Lord, have some resistance to that. And Lord, some of them think they'll do it at a later time. But Lord, the message of the gospel is do it today. Now's the accepted time. So Lord, I pray that, Lord, the gospel as it's been preached again would open their eyes to those things. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you, bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I've done it again. I done enjoyed preaching too much. Amen. Ain't you thankful for the gospel? Amen.